Hey, what's up? It's the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. A good one. Oh, a really good one. You know, to focus on Ben Glaze's open mic stand-up catastrophe. Not exactly his fault, too. I remember this. We called it Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia. Oh, man, a lot of intricate details in this show from that moment. It's like it's burned into my brain. Adam Deggy was there for it. Ben Glaze was there for it. Some horrible comics. Some just terrible, terrible comics. Oh, my God. Not even Ben. I mean, Adam's a pro. I mean, he headlined the damn thing. Ben was pretty good. And just some of the worst things I've ever seen in my life and heard. All with the Bosnian Mafia right there. I'm not even kidding you. So there's a lot to get to on this Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. As you know, it's the show happens each and every day from the Baldwin Ace Hardware Fear Bunker Studio. I do it live, and then that live audio becomes the audio podcast, which you obviously download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Please subscribe to it. Also, quick and easy things that help your old pal Eric that don't cost you a damn thing. Follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/EricZaneLive. Hit the follow button. That way you'll know when I go live. If you want to get the show minus commercials, you got to subscribe. Kind of scroll down in that same spot online. Hit the red button. It says sign up with Twitch Prime. So if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link up your Amazon Prime to me on Twitch, and then you're subscribed and you get that for free with your Amazon Prime. You got to do it manually each month, but so that's a way you can do it. Or if you want to skip the commercials but don't have Amazon, you have the option to pay $5 a month. It's totally up to you. If not, the show is 100% free. You just got to sit through an ad. Now, that's all like for the live stream video, which is just like about 1% of the people that actually consume the Eric Zane Show podcast. The lion's share of the people get it via the audio podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Twitch and Facebook brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Eric Zane fan page. I'm on Twitter. Follow me there at Eric Zane Show, brought to you by Blue Frost IT and YouTube. Follow me on the YouTube channel, please. And what is it? Hit the bell notification and you're all set, ready to go. That brought to you by Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. Let's do it. Part one of Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia. My God, a lot to get to today on the show. Let me start By getting after Comedy Night last night. Hashtag Bomb City. Ben Glaze doing stand-up at a coffee bar called Mahala Coffee Bar in Grand Rapids here. This may have been the strangest thing I have seen in a long, long time. There is no way to describe this other than it was one of the most awkward things I have experienced in my entire life. In fact, I should probably bring Stu in here. And a little bit later on, Adam Deggy, who was the headliner, will join me. I need to fill Stu in about what's going on. He's probably not even awake yet. My God. How many times I've been on a real dry spell lately on bringing people in randomly on the show. Come on, Stu. Wake your ass up, buddy. Stu still, I think he's still delivering Dippin' Dots. But who knows? He's probably, since the last time we spoke, had 3 or 4 new jobs. As he continues to find his way, I honestly think he's shooting too low. You know, Stu is super educated. I mean, super educated. He's got a master's degree. And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to get back into social work. It's like, Stu, well, you don't have to get back into social work. You're still very educated. You can do a lot with that expertise. You don't have to get back into counseling. But at the same time, delivering worms is probably something that you're overqualified for. All right? Delivering worms and super frozen ice cream is a little bit... I mean, those are fine jobs. Don't get me wrong. But you are suited for a hell of a lot more than that. Okay. So I can't really get Stu in here. That's okay. I'll get Deggy on later on. I should get Ben on, but he's probably at work or getting ready for work, and I don't want to bother him. And I think the thing that we need to cover first, because, I mean, here I am saying that this was the most awkward thing I'd ever experienced in my life, and I would say easily top five. I mean, this is right up there with, like, sitting around after somebody dies, going over who gets what from the will, and one of the kids is left out of it. It was that awkward. Everything went wrong to make this one of the most awkward things I had ever seen in my entire life. And I will discuss that with Deggy a little bit later on. He'll be, in fact, you will be able to see Deggy unless he turns his camera off, because I invited him into the live stream of the podcast via the Restream platform. But let's get this out of the way. Ben did well. I'll just say it right now. I laughed at Ben's jokes. One of the things that stood out to me is because a lot of the times when I get Ben on here, when we're just having a conversation like on the podcast, he, you know, sometimes it takes him forever to spit something out. I just get the urge to punch the words out of him. For some reason, it's almost like his mind is going in three different directions, and what flies out of his face sounds a little choppy, I guess, you know? And I don't know if that's something that ever gets changed, because as long as I've ever known Ben, whenever we're having a radio conversation or whatever, podcast conversation, he does that a lot. It's almost like he's afraid to say what's really on his mind. And, you know, that's the kiss of death. You can't do that. You got to get right in there, get right down and dirty and say whatever you want. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. However, that did not happen when he's on stage. And I don't know if it's because he's worked on his delivery or he's done these jokes so many times, but I don't have much negative to say about Ben. I actually laughed at his jokes. His comedy is dark. There was a dead baby joke, and I'm like, oh my God. But the fact that he's delivering some of these jokes were super dark, and he's deadpan when he's doing it. And he was pretty polished. I cannot say that he... Okay, out of all the comics, you had... Okay, the host was really green. He was a little clumsy, no big deal, whatever, it happens. This is why open mic exists. Okay, you go to open mic events to... and that's the trade-off. You get to see guys bomb or girls bomb, not all of them, but some of them, and they're practicing new material. So that's it, and they're kind of working on their game. And the only way to do this is to get it at game speed like this. So you're in front of people. I'll say this: I walked into this joint, and it's small, and right away, the thought of being in front of strangers made me anxious. Me. And I'm not performing. And I thought to myself, oh, fuck, this is going to be hard. But, and I'm like, Jesus, Ben, this is what you do? This is, it's just intimidating. There was probably only been one or two times that I've actually had to think on my feet in front of an audience like that. It's different doing this, doing what I'm doing right now with you. I cannot see you. Okay. I know you're there. A few dozen of you. But I can't see you. When you say something that's intended to be funny and you see everyone stone faced staring at you blinking, oh, fuck, that's not easy. It's not easy. I don't know. I mean, I would pee a little right there. But there he was, naked to the world. It was kind of like he transformed in front of my eyes, because he kept it moving. There was only a couple times. Okay, this to me, I don't know anything about doing stand-up. Well, I mean, maybe I do. I mean, I can observe and make comments, but to me, in terms of the flow of the show, like the headliner, Adam Deggie, he's just up there and he's just talking and he's dropping jokes on people. There was some interaction with the crowd. There was some spontaneity. But what he's not doing is the thing that a lot of these comics did was they bring notes up there and they're actually like pick up note cards of jokes. And I don't care if it's a veteran comic or if it's a person who's doing comedy for the first time. If you have written jokes down on a piece of paper and they're at a stool and you're standing there, and you tell a joke and then you kind of like look down at the note, try to be inconspicuous about it, your note. And you're like, okay, I got to tell this joke. And then you, it's just the flow. It just drops. It ruins the spell of what you're fucking trying to do. Get that shit down. I don't give a fuck if it's your first time or your 100th time. There is no excuse, in my opinion, for anyone to stand in front of a group of people and look at notes. And some of these people are like, seriously, they're sitting there, all right, yeah, say a joke, and then they pick up note cards, and they're holding the note card in front of them. Oh, my God, they're looking at the notes, their next joke, and then they set the notes down and said, okay, let me tell you about my car trouble. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Stop that. That's no good. You're just reading me shit in a note card. Let's fucking get that shit together, man. Oh. And if you can't, in my opinion, if you can't rehearse enough before you go in front of people to at least tell me your bad jokes without looking at a note card, don't do it. Do not commit. There's no way, no how you should be doing that. What the fuck? I mean, how much can it say on there? Is it just an asterisk with one line to remind you what the joke is? And then, so Ben did that a little bit, not a lot. He kind of like, his energy, when you have to look at the notes, what was a joke and a punchline, then you have to kind of pause, and it's clumsy, and it's like, shit, what are you doing? But he was not the worst at all. And in fact, I would say that of all the people that were up there, he was as polished as any of them. You had the host was clumsy. I think he was it might have been very early in hosting or something like that. I have no idea, but the sound was fucked. It was lit poorly. The audience was hit or miss on their responses and their laughter. I mean, and then there was a gang of Bosnian hitmen that were there, and you're like, what? And I shit you not, as far as I understand, you walk up to the place, and there's a bunch of people that look, they look like they're from former Soviet Eastern Bloc country. The second I walked up, all I pictured, and I go into the Stone Cold. I don't know who the fuck is who, what is what. And I had sent Ben a text saying, I'm running late. Hey, man, stall. You know, I don't want to miss any of this. And I didn't. But I'm walking up to the place, and there's like six guys smoking cigarettes. And all I thought about was the Bert Kreischer bit, The Machine, when he hung out with the Russian mafia or whatever. Except I didn't know that these weren't Russians. Apparently, they were Bosnians. At least that's what I was told. I guess I don't know for sure. But these guys that look like a bunch of Eastern Bloc country hitmen are standing out in front, and right away, and they're speaking a foreign language. And I'm like, boy, do not fucking look at these guys. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And so right away, the impression I got was these people own the facility. And this is like their version, this coffee bar, of the Bada Bings. Bada Bing from The Sopranos. Where, you know, Tony, that was a place where they'd do all the sit-downs and the meetings and shit. But at least in The Sopranos, they would do it in the back room, not to disturb the customers who were there. Or what's the name of that meat joint that they would hang out in front of, where they have lunch, have a sit-down there? So I think this was the West Michigan Bosnian mafia. And I'm not shitting you, because the host goes up and the comedians are there and we're all doing our thing, or and I'm watching, and the comics up there, and then the Bosnian mafia sits down at couches in their own area. No one sits there. Right near, this is a small room, okay? And they are having a discussion while the people are performing. Loudly. As loud as I'm talking to you, they are talking to each other in a foreign language for an hour and a half. And it was so fucking awkward. I could not believe the level of rudeness. And they don't give a shit because it's their place. One of the comics said to me, I think they simply bought that place so that they could smoke out in front of it. Because every 10 minutes, all these guys get up and go out and smoke. This one comic, some of the comics started to reference the dudes. And the place was called Mahala. One of the comics referred to them as the Mahala Mafia. And I'm like, oh, shit. I couldn't believe it. Like, right to the guys' faces. He goes, oh, look at that. There we got the Mahala Mafia over here. And I'm like, you know, you say that, but I would not put that past. I would not put the idea past anyone and try to forget that that may be a group of organized crime members right there. And holy shit. And then another comic, after they all walked out, so they're all sitting there having their sit down. Comics are doing their thing. And then they go, let's go smoke in Bosnian or whatever. And they all get up. Is that a language, Bosnian? Or do you say Yugoslavian? Or do you say Sarajevian? Or what? I have no idea. They all get up. They all go outside to smoke like every 10 minutes. And as the last one's leaving and the door is closed, ding dong, the comic goes, there goes the Vladimirs. Assuming they were Russian, I guess. I don't know. But I got the joke and it was funny. I'm like, holy shit, though, man. Jesus, you got some balls. These are all big. All these dudes had giant heads. Every single one of these guys had barrel chests, giant heads. They look like they're about 45 years old and with old man strength. And I'm guessing they were all about 28. They pulled out of some war-torn country where they probably sold arms to the Russians or some shit. I have no idea. But this was fucking weird. Really weird. So they had to contend with that, and Ben went first. And they weren't, I don't remember Ben having to contend with them having their sit-down meeting, because I was kind of focused on Ben, but I kept hearing a conversation. I'm like, what is going on? They're actually speaking a different language over there. And it got louder and louder and louder. I'm standing there, and just before, and while Ben is on stage, I'm at this bar, okay? And again, they don't serve alcohol, but it's called the Mahala Coffee Bar. And someone says, hey, can I help you? Is there anything you want? I go, and now, no alcohol. This is a great place for me. Everyone's like, man, I wish I had a drink. I'm like, I'm glad I don't have a drink. And I go, well, do you have anything with no caffeine? Like, I'll get a coffee drink as long as it's no caffeine, because I got to get to sleep at night. And they go, how about a smoothie? And I go, this is my kind of place. And he goes, what kind of smoothie? I go, I don't care. And he kind of looks at me funny. I go, get creative. Make me something fruity. And they go, you want something fruity? I go, I honestly, be creative. Whatever you put in front of me, I'll drink it. I don't give a shit. Okay. So there I am sitting there on this bar stool with my little feet kicking, not touching the ground. I'm like a kid at the malt shop drinking a smoothie. Ben finishes. Comic number two goes up there. And you know, the typical open mic. He's trying to work his act, and you know, he was pretty prepared too. I don't recall him looking at notes. That to me was the worst. There was a lot of awkward going around in this night, but the looking at the note cards, I was like, come on, man. He comes up there, and now prior to the event, I had seen the list of comics, and I saw a name. And when I saw the name, I went, oh, I know a person by that name. And then I dismissed it. And I didn't think another thing of it. And then so this guy is up there. And then I get my smoothie while this guy is doing his act. And it's time to take my mask off, my two masks that I'm wearing, and to drink my smoothie. And I take my mask off right when this comic looks at me. And this comic stops talking and looks right at me. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And I'm like, oh, this person probably recognizes me from the radio. I just took my mask off, or maybe from the Griffins, and probably just fucked with his head right now. Okay, part one of Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia in the books. Epic night. I'll never forget it. The open of the show brought to you by My Policy Shop Insurance, Frank the Tank Fuss. Do not go without health insurance.
I can't afford it, man. I'm unemployed, and I just can't afford health care.
Yeah, you can, okay? The government made that possible. I don't understand why everybody had such a hard time with Obamacare. That Obamacare breathed life into my household because I've been utilizing that since the start of the podcast. Frank Fuss will help you every step of the way because most people don't know what the hell they're getting into. They don't know how it works. And you can screw this up. So bang on Frank's door, and he'll set you up with a policy through healthcare.gov. It's going to take a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes, answer some of his questions, but he does it all, and he's free. So, okay, if you're out of work or you are self-employed, you know, a lot of times when people get out, are like let go or they change jobs, they, well, I'll just sign up for Cobra and pay $3,000 a month. No, it's a ripoff. Don't do it. Get your own policy. And Frank will check to see if you are welcome into the enrollment period for special circumstances. And most of you will be. 616-914-4070. Call or text Frank from anywhere in the U.S. and he will help you. 616-914-4070. Please mention my name or go to buyinsurancehere.com. Full House Comedy. We're talking comedy throughout this show today, this best of show. Full House Comedy venues everywhere. Take in a comedy show with my friends at Full House Comedy. Just about everywhere. Could be as far north as Howard City. And then, of course, you got the Grand Rapids area out west, Muskegon, Holland, fullhousecomedy.com. Comedy all over the place. In fact, I like to check from time to time, see who's there. Okay. Sam Tripoli coming up on Thursday, the 26th of May. Nice. Rich Voss. This picture of him looks to be 20 years old. There's no way he looks like that anymore. He's going to be at the Listening Room on Thursday, June 2nd. Rich is hilarious. In fact, okay, he's doing Listening Room June 2nd. June 3rd, he's at Rockford Lanes, Rich Voss. Saturday, Park Theater. That is sweet. Okay. Bobcat Goldthwait. Friday, June 10th at Rockford Lanes. Saturday, June 11th, Park Theater. Man, good things going on. Fullhousecomedy.com. And this week, Sam Tripoli. He's got shows at the Park Theater, Listening Room. And yeah, okay, excellent. Well done, Big Dick Donnie Veltman. Fullhousecomedy.com to buy tickets. All right. Moving on the best of part two of Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia as the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast rolls on. So, all right, that ends, and I don't think another thing of it. Later on, this guy wanders over next to me, and he's standing there watching the other acts, and then he leans in, and he goes, "Hey, Zane." I go, "Hey, how are you?" And it's that dude. And I'm still thinking, he goes, "Do you remember me?" Matt, Purple Heart Matt. And then right when he said Matt, it dawned on me that it was the guy that I was thinking that I knew his name when I first looked at the list of comments. Purple Heart Matt was an intern on the old Freebird and Outwing show more than a decade ago. And he served in Iraq and got like a had a hand injury. I think he lost some fingers, a roadside bomb or some shit like that. Except when I remember him, he was round. This guy is not round at all. In fact, you ever notice that when people, when they lose a ton of weight, their actual the shape, their face appearance, like you don't know it's them. You remember that guy Carlos? What's his face? Carlos Orozco, who I talked to out of the east side of Michigan, who lost 500 pounds. Remember Carlos? No one would ever know that that's him now. He weighs 185 pounds now. It's incredible. That's what's going on with this guy. And I go, oh, my God. You know, when I saw the name, I thought, boy, I know a man, but I didn't think it was going to be you. And here you are. I go, you do stand-up. He goes, yeah, man. So this is years ago, Purple Heart Matt used to answer the phones for us. I go, well, it's really, really great to see you, buddy. How are you? And dropped 100 pounds. He's 185 pounds soaking wet. Jacked. This dude is ripped. So I'm like, holy shit, man. All these little crazy little weirdo things happen to me all the time like that. So that was good to see him. So you got a lot of dynamic here. You got Ben doing, I mean, honestly, I thought Ben was going to be shitty, okay? I thought his jokes, for me, were funny. I was laughing at because, you know, and then the crowd. This group, boy, it's hit or miss. You had a few people that would bust out laughing, these young ladies to the side of the stage. They were laughing pretty hard at a lot of the jokes. Other folks are, I don't know, it's just a little wonky in the crowd. And then you got nobody's got a drink. And then you got the fucking Bosnian mafia there having a sit down meeting. And then some of the comics, I don't know. I love some of those people very much. They're all wonderful people. But in my opinion, the world of stand up comedy, there is no room in the world of stand up comedy, in my opinion, for anyone to tell a joke. Go, hey, yeah. And then the joke gets kind of like a lukewarm feel to it. And then you go, hey, hang on. And then they look at notes. Okay, I'll tell this joke. And then they come back. Hey, guess what happened to me today? It's like, oh, fuck. Quit doing that shit. Now, I get it. Easier said than done. But if I can stay, I mean, not exactly what I say is funny when I say it, but if I can sit here for 2 hours and at least maintain my thoughts so I don't have to sit there and go, oh, look at these fucking notes now. The fuck? Come on, guys. What are you doing? No way. I'm sorry. So I'm going to get Deggy in here. He was the headliner. And get his thoughts. See if we can compare notes on the event about what went down last night as Ben's hashtag Bomb City Baller tour continues. He did four nights of comedy. I think Ben, I was impressed. I was because I had a you know, he's always talking about how shitty he does, so I had an expectation that he wasn't going to be able to get, like, one word out, you know? But he absolutely did, so good for you, Ben. In a way, I'm proud of you, buddy. I'll just say that. I am proud of you, Ben. You know, when you do this, you know, like I said, I had an expectation, and at first I was like, oh, you're funnier than this guy, or you're funnier than this guy, or you're funnier than that girl, or whatever. But I don't know, maybe because I'm partial to Ben, I got a little bit uncomfortable with a lot of those comics. I wasn't really uncomfortable with Ben. There was comic who says the N-word way too much. This guy just gets up on stage, and I think he could be funny because he was really comfortable. But I don't know. I think he just... the N-word was kind of like a crutch for him. I mean, I can understand saying that once in a while. I mean... And of course, yes, he was a black guy, because if he was a white guy, that would have been the first thing I started with. White comic is sitting in a room full of mixed company saying the N-word. That would have been the first thing I said. He was funny-ish, but okay, he was funny in his delivery, but the jokes were, boy, I don't know. And then there was this dude who, this might have been, if it weren't for the Bosnian mafia sit down going on while the comics are doing their thing, and some of the comics, when they're talking, the Bosnian sit down, Bosnian mafia was getting so loud, the comics were getting interrupted. Like they would like burst out with an exclamation in another language. Imagine that, trying to do comedy with that right like 15 feet away from you. My God. By the way, Bosnian mafia gets a nomination for asshole of the day for the level of rudeness. okay? There's a comic there, and I saw the folks when they walked in. It was a teeny tiny little man, I'm guessing 5'4", with a enormous woman. When I say enormous, I mean she was taller than all of the women, and she was very, very heavy, okay? You know, like the type of, I mean, like, wow, that type of heavy. And so whatever. Okay. And it didn't, I noticed that he was writing. And I think he was writing jokes. And I don't remember this guy doing a lot of looking at the notes. But it turns out that the little guy was one of the comics. And so as he's doing his thing, he suddenly, and you know he's there with her, okay? There's a handful of people in the audience. While on stage and while she's right in the front, he goes, yeah, and he's got a really high voice. Yeah, even though I'm a little guy and I've put on a few pounds during the pandemic, you know, he made a joke about, you know, gaining weight during the pandemic, this little guy, because he looked a little portly, but no big deal. And then he suddenly says, though I'm a little guy, I tell you what, I got myself a big girl. Now, if you're going to make jokes about how you are dating a girl who's enormous, that's one thing. She's right fucking there. And immediately everybody's like, oh, fuck. He's making fat jokes about his girlfriend who's this far away. Holy shit. Oh. And I'm standing next to Ben. And, okay, if there was any bit of awkwardness in what Ben did, no one remembers that. The only thing anyone remembers from this night is the mafia and this. Everything else is an afterthought. He is making fat jokes about his girlfriend, and she's fat as shit, and right there looking like Jabba the Hutt. I mean, I'm not kidding you. And he then starts to go down the road of a joke, okay? And Ben and I muttered our own punchline to this joke and then looked at each other because we said the same punchline while we're looking at each other and started laughing while he said the real punchline. And he said, he goes, yeah, I'm talking about how fat she is. It's fucking terrible. And then he goes, yeah, you know, I like to smother her in kisses. And she, Ben and I both go, smother me with her body. We actually said that. I could hear him. He could hear me. We start, you're cracking up. We're laughing our fucking asses off. We turn around. We actually turn our backs to the stage and to the fat chick. And you hear Ben doing his laugh, his fucking snickering that is. So we're sitting there cracking up. And he goes, she wants to smother me with a pillow. And we're saying, oh, wow, the fuck. How can you talk about how big she is and you drop smother me with a pillow? You got to go for it, little guy. You got to smother me with her giant fat titties or whatever. It doesn't matter what the fuck you say. If you're going to make fun of how fat she is or point out how fat she is in front of the Bosnian mafia, what the fuck are you doing going with the pillow reference? You got to bust out her big fat titties. Oh, and we're like, holy shit. This is so insane. This was the Valhalla of awkward. Off the rails awkward. Guy dropping N-word. Bosnian mafia. Looking at the notes. Little guy, little hobbit guy dating fat chick. Talking about how fat she is right in front of everybody. Oh, what entertainment. I was, and then Ben's like, yeah, you know, sorry about all that. I'm like, sorry? Fuck you. I had so much fun. Now, I haven't been out in 2.5 years. So You know, I've been wearing sweatpants. This is the first time I put on sweatpants in forever outside of doing limo or hockey games. So I was feeling good. You know, I'm there. I got to see Deggy and I got to see Nardo. So I'm wearing pants. I got a smoothie. I'm sitting on the stool with my little feet kicking. I got fat, skinny guy or little guy talking about how fat his girlfriend is. She's 5 feet away, the Bosnian Mafia. Oh, my God, this is incredible. I normally don't like awkward humor. This was so off the rails awkward. Holy shit. Oh, so, so good. Oh, you have to go to the next one. I'm gonna wipe the schedule clean if I can the next time Ben does open mic. And I just pray that all of these people are there. And honestly, I'm not like ripping on the comics like, hey, you suck shit or anything like that. My big thing is, okay, for the guy, no, I don't want the little guy who made the fat jokes about his girlfriend to change anything, ever, okay? That was incredible. You're an absolute legend, whoever the fuck you are. But I think if it's constructive criticism, do not look at notes. Practice. Don't look at the notes anymore. Son of a bitch. Too much. All right, Deggy will be here in 21 minutes to discuss it. But I wanted to get out in front of it and tell you my thoughts of it, and then I'll compare notes with him, and we'll see where this goes. Adam was really, really funny. It's tough to work a crowd like that, but he did it, so good for him, and good for those folks in the local comedy community for trying. It is not easy work. I don't envy you. I'm not saying I could do it. I don't know if I'd make jokes about my wife's physical characteristics right in front of her like that, but oh boy, her girlfriend. All right, here we go. It is the best of the Eric St. Show podcast. Love that story so much. Adam Deggy on the back half of this for a couple of segments. Hey friends, it's your old pal EZ with my latest and greatest marketing partner, Mint Mobile. I know a lot of you have been through the ringer when it comes to costs with big wireless. As you know, what you see is never what you get. You ever have that happen where you get in there and you're like, okay, they're like, you're going to get this, this, and this, and this, and then you pay us this. And you go, oh, yeah. And then, like, you get the bill and you're like, what the hell just happened? It's like bait and switch. And then you call in and you realize that you're screwed. So you're like, oh, my God, I might as well just keep overpaying for this. Never again. Enter Mint Mobile. You never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. I've done this. You should too. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to the rescue with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. My God! To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and give the other guys the big heave-ho. mintmobile.com/Zane. All right, fine print time. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to the $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Okay, thanks again for checking out the best of the podcast. The free podcast is powered by sponsors. This time, JM Synthetics gets a hearty hello coming his, their way. Specializing, distributing Amsoil products. The best motor oil made on the planet. Hands down. JMSynthetics.com is the website. You go there. You shop by product or you shop by equipment that their product is going into. Once you figure out what you want, there's a phone number there. That's Jason Mays. Call him or text him. Say, I need this. Boom. Next thing you know, it's there on your front doorstep. Thank you, JM Synthetics. Of course, we've got A&E Heating and Cooling. The immortal Joe Martinez. Servicing air conditioning and furnace setups throughout West Michigan. All you need to know is that you need to see these folks twice a year. All right, hopefully that's it. If you see them twice a year, you've got less of a chance of seeing them more throughout the year. Some of you will want that, though, because of the machismo. Their number, 616-516-8579. Reach out to A&E Heating and Cooling and schedule an appointment to get your AC tuned up. That system is, there's a lot to it, and a lot of things need to be looked at every single year to make sure it stays running effectively, efficiently, and properly without any breakdowns. If you're like, I don't think I've ever done this. Well, you're in danger, and your a dumpster fire of an AC unit is probably running at like 40% efficiency. Improve that. 616-516-8579. Thank you. And for this round of sponsors, the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Now, if your credit's great, this is not painful. You just call up Mario. He gets working. You get your mortgage. All right. For whatever, wherever your home is that you you want to buy it, with the exception of South Carolina, Maine, Alaska, and Hawaii. But let's say you're young, first-time home buyer. Maybe you've went through a bankruptcy. Why? Because you suck with money. Or victim of divorce. Ugh, God. But you still want to be in your own home. You don't want to be paying rent to some jackass slumlord. Call Mario. You see, not every mortgage person is created equal. A lot of the mortgage people, they want to deal with somebody who needs a $700,000 loan. Well, some of you folks that I just described might be, a little lighter on that side, not nearly as big of a purchase. So the mortgage folks, the other mortgage guys are like, oh, God, this one hardly is going to pay me any money. Not Mario. He wants to make sure that everybody gets the opportunity of the American dream. Call Mario, 231-332-6505. Quit paying rent. For God's sake, reach out to Mario today. All right, moving on the best of the podcast. The immortal Adam Deggy joined me to discuss Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia. Here you go This is part one. Here you go.
Yo.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm good.
Say hi to everybody. They're all here. Checking you out.
Hello, people.
Oh, my God. Thank you for doing this, by the way.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It was a late night for me. I'm not used to drinking coffee at 8:30 p.m., so.
I had a smoothie.
Did you? I didn't know that was an option. I may have opted for the smoothie because it's pathetic. But even during the week when I work the day job, I tell myself that I can't have caffeine after like 2 p.m. And then I'll treat myself my last work day of the week because I know I'll be up. So it was a really stupid idea to drink coffee that late in the evening. But here we are.
I turned around because the bartender goes, hey, can I get you anything? And, you know, I wanted to support them. I mean, they were hosting. But I like you, I didn't want to stay up. So I'm like, do you have anything with no caffeine? I'm at a coffee bar. Do you have anything with no caffeine?
Yeah.
And he kind of looks around like I'm an idiot. And he goes, how about a smoothie? I go, yes, something fruity. And they go, that's it? I go, I don't care what you do. Whatever you put in front of me, I'll drink it. So I get the fucking thing, and it's purple. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be perfect. And it tastes chocolatey. So I was like, whatever. Beggars can't be choosers.
Huh, weird.
So I want to put this up there as we're getting started and welcoming you in. If you were known as Adam Deggy, fan of Bosnian Mafia, you would know what that means after last night, correct?
Yes. Me and the Bosnians don't get along, man. I don't know if it's geography has never been my strong suit. I honestly, like, I have no idea where Bosnia is in relation to Hungary, because I'm technically Hungarian. But I have a feeling that they just don't get along.
Okay. Now, I understand that some or all of those gentlemen own the premises, yes?
I believe so. So I have no idea if, like, the guy behind the bar owned the place. I don't think so. It's just funny because they've got signs up everywhere, you know, about it's mandatory to wear a mask and the restrictions and stuff. But it's obvious that they just have them up because they have to, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because of the state. Because then there's two guys playing pool when we get there, no masks, couldn't care less. And holy shit, I can remember working with my old man and some guys, and we etched glass, so it was art glass. My dad was really talented.
Okay.
But when the art glass department was slow, which would happen because it's you know, people don't need art glass.
Right.
The same company owned like a carpet laying company. And what I'm trying to get to is these dudes would literally take cigarette breaks every 15 minutes. The half of the job was just smoking cigarettes. And that's what it reminded me of last night. Cause every 15 minutes, those guys were just outside puffing away. That's why I said to you, it was like, I honestly think they just opened this place so they had another place to smoke.
Yes, and that was a great joke. I was like, shit, you should have said that last night, because it was fucking killed. It was,
oh, man. You know. I'm surprised they haven't just said, screw it. They clearly and just started smoking inside again, because clearly, you know, rules and regulations don't mean anything to those people.
I got out of my truck, I walked up, and that's who I saw. And something about people from former Soviet countries, they have enormous heads.
Yeah,
did you notice the size of the heads on all of those men?
We can't say they all do, but we can't say that, Zane, but certainly that group of guys.
Well, all of them had enormous heads. And I'm like, I walk in and I heard a different language. And right away, I'm thinking my spider sense is tingling. I'm like, do not say shit. Just walk right by.
They'll break your fingers.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. And so there's poor little meek Ben. He's standing there and he, you know, Ben always looks like he just got the fuck kicked out of him whenever you see him. And so, you know, he's still at that stage. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I see you. I go, hey, who else is here? He goes, oh, Deggy's over there with Nardo. So I go, okay, awesome. So go say hi to you guys. And then now, so that all unfolded. And I've been detailing on the show that this was a fertile environment for awkward because of the Bosnians. Not only were they there and moving a lot, but they're talking out loud.
Intimidating. Yeah. And it's, you have similar situations when like a bar will host a comedy open mic or even a regular paid show. And the owner is like the loudest guy in the room talking. And you're just like, well, what? There's nothing we can fucking do because this guy owns the place.
Yeah.
And there's six or seven of them in back just, you know, sitting in those couches around a table, just chatting away.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I thought to myself, go back outside and have the conversation just because how could they hear each other? Because Nardos is telling jokes and these guys are like,
I'm sure they were discussing potentially murdering all of us. And I guess that several comics have already made a joke about like that, you know, the cafe bar being a front for, you know, real mob. I could see why people would say that. They're certainly laundering money in one way or another, but good for those guys, you know?
Well, I forgot. It was
the American dream.
The Pakistani dude, he referred to them as the Mahalla Mafia. I think it was a Pakistani dude. He was excellent, by the way. Very, very funny.
Yes.
And then someone else, when they were all leaving, that there goes the Vladimirs or some shit like that. And I was like, yes. I'm like, oh my God. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least I would assume they're paying attention enough to hear the jokes and be fine with it. So that's cool.
Well, I was tempted to like walk up, get up the nerve, but there's no way I'm going to get up the nerve. But in my mind, I was like walking up at when they're having a smoke break saying, so they're all making jokes about you guys. Are you down with that? I mean, do you know what's going on? But you know, I'd have been dead. So that would have been a bad idea. But I was fantasizing about actually going through with that.
They'd snap your neck.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the reason I say I don't get along with Bosnians because I've had another run-in with Bosnians that could have ended badly. So
I didn't know that.
Well, it was very random and pretty funny, but I left. Do you remember the Sunday Night Funnies?
No. I'm so naive to comedy that I don't know shit.
Well, there still is a show on Sunday nights that's moved locations. It used to be at the Riverfront Hotel on Ann Street, which I don't know what the hotel is now. They got bought out. That's part of the reason they moved. So now the show is out off of 84th Street at Woody's Press Box. It's right next to the go-kart place, whatever the hell it's called.
Yep.
Unimportant to the story. But I leave the show one night and we go to a friend's place, another comic, and he lives in these like duplex, like townhouses. They all look similar. You know, it's one of these places where they're all cookie cutter. You can't tell the difference between any place until you're inside.
Right.
And I had never been to his house before. And I'm an idiot. Keep that in mind. So I park and myself and another comic, his name's Michael Bussler, very funny. We walk in the front door and take our shoes off and we're going to make our way into the living room. And then we realize we are in the wrong person's apartment. It is not our friend, John Hauser, another comedian. It is this Bosnian couple. And this guy's wife looks terrified. Like, oh my God, they finally found us. They're here to kill us. And her boyfriend, her husband, got up from the couch. And that dude meant business. Like, get out. And, oh, my God, like, get out of my house. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I honestly don't know where I am. I thought I was in my friend's house. And I look behind me, and my friend has been gone for at least 60 seconds. Just fucking left me there. To be murdered.
Yeah, that's like every man for himself.
Oh, yeah. He didn't take – said nothing, just left me. I don't even know if he got his shoes off. Like, I was – and I'm obnoxious, too. So as soon as I walk in the door, I'm, like, yelling God knows what, stupid shit, because I think my friends are around the corner ready to party, you know? Turns out it was this Bosnian couple, and I almost had my head in a duffel bag at the end of the night.
You're looking in the refrigerator for a beer, you know, picking up the cat.
And I kind of I one of my guesses based on his accent would have been Bosnian, but then it was confirmed later at night because my friend was like, oh, yeah, no, my neighbors are Bosnian, and the dude is super scary. And I'm like, yeah, he Jesus. Is. He's very scary.
Well, okay, word of advice, then, when we ever do get back to having that event called Festival of the Arts, downtown Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. Bosnians are always there serving that meat on a stick shit. Careful around
That's
there.
That's Bosnian?
Well, there's some. They have different food stands. It depends on... And I guess what is on the menu, but there's all sorts of different foods you can get at those. And I guess I'm not even sure what exactly they serve, but you know, they're always there.
I'll steer clear, man. Yes. They probably got my face on a poster somewhere.
I'll say this is the first time I've ever seen Ben do comedy. And Ben's the type of guy that whenever you're talking to him, like in this setting right here, I was telling the audience, I get the urge to want to punch the words out of him because it's all like I have a hard time pulling it out of him, you know?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I thought he was fairly smooth. And I was happy with that. And he's got no confidence whatsoever.
No.
He gets done. He'll walk up to you and say, well, I suck dick. And I'm like, I don't think so, Ben. I thought, you know, your comedy's super dark, but I mean, dead baby jokes, but whatever, at least you fucking did it. So, you know, I actually liked it. I actually liked what he did.
No, he's very funny. Like I said to you last night, he's got the posture of someone who's at the airport and their flight's been delayed for the second time.
Exactly. I keep wanting him to push his shoulders back a little.
Yeah, he just looks deflated and defeated. But he's a great writer. He's super funny. And I think the stage presence and confidence will come. And he has already came a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. So the open mic scene, this is training ground, correct?
Yeah, it's no different than like a band practice rehearsal. Well, it's actually a lot different because people are watching. And
how do you feel about looking at note cards? I hate it. And I was talking about this before you got on here. I was like, I don't care. You cannot be stopping to look at the notes.
No. So it's at an open mic like last night. I mean, if you need to do it, do it. I mean, I look at my phone. If I'm being honest, and it's terrible, but when I headline comedy clubs, I'll still have my phone up there just in case. If there's something new that I'm going to work on in the middle of my set or something, I will just glance at my phone as a reminder.
Okay.
Mostly I've got it up there just to know how long I've been up there because I'm terrible with time. You know, right. I've got to cover 45 minutes and I just want to know. But I try not to make it obvious. I kind of do it within crowd work or as I'm walking over to grab my drink from the stool or something. But yeah, you certainly shouldn't be doing it to the point that it's a distraction and people are thinking about it. So
now, of course, easier said than done, because I walked into that room and just walking into the room, I hadn't even seen that the Bosnians were going to be having a sit down.
Yeah.
I was terrified for anyone doing that in that room. It was weird. It's
like I said, it kind of had the room is great. Don't get me wrong. And Joseph Johnson, who runs the show, super funny, new comic. And I think he used to just live over there and he'd go over there and probably write, drink coffee, whatever. And then through conversation, must have talked to somebody and
good for him.
Started doing comedy over there, but it's a different vibe. Just because, first and foremost, there's no alcohol, which is always going to make live entertainment different, you know, because it's people need booze. And then it's the setting is like the lighting in there. You want it dark, but then there's really no stage lighting. And then, I don't know, it almost has like I said it last night, like a college campus, like lounge vibe or something.
It's like the college common area where all the rest.
I didn't go to college. I only know from, I used to travel the country hosting a game show, and sometimes it would take part at like 3 p.m. in one of those like commons areas at a college. And oh my God, that was, after that, no comedy will ever be too bad because that was absolutely soul sucking and one of the worst things I've ever had to do. So, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally picture
and
that.
And then the audience was just kind of, I don't think they were used to anybody talking to him, because as I'm asking him questions, they were like afraid to answer. And
yeah,
they
even,
I wasn't asking like, hey, what's your dick size specifically?
Yeah, I know. I think you asked who here is middle aged?
Yeah,
who
here is nothing. I was like, did these guys threaten you?
That's right. You did say that. Did the Bostians threaten you? Now, Adam, you said, I was so embarrassed because you asked a very simple question. You said in your act, the bit was, I don't want to say too much of it on a record, but whatever. You said something about people who assassinate people have three, their middle name is used. You say all three names. And you said, who killed Abraham Lincoln? And at the same time that everybody is saying John Wilkes Booth, one asshole said Lee Harvey. Oh, and it was your old pal, Eric.
Yeah.
And you,
somebody, that's the most common one that people mix up. Because his name's the most famous in relation to president assassinations, it's normal for people to say that. I mean, you're a moron, but yeah. It's normal.
And I went, oh no. And my ears got hot. And you looked at me, you go, you already fucked it up.
It's such a dumb, silly joke. And it's also just because, and I know why they do that. Obviously, when somebody assassinates somebody, they use all three names because they don't want, if the guy's name's John Smith,
right,
you know, and there's a thousand John Smiths, you don't want some poor asshole who just, you know, delivers milk for a living.
And they would.
Yeah, getting his shit kicked in because it's got the same name. So,
okay, pause in the action. The remainder of my time with Adam Deggy after this. Gift of Life, Michigan, has asked me to talk to you about making sure you are on the donor registry. This is absolutely important. Probably the most important thing I'll talk about today or this week. Every time I talk about Gift of Life Michigan, that is the case. And this isn't just for people in the state of Michigan. Your organs, in the event of an untimely passing, will save 8 lives. Your tissue and corneas will improve the lives of more than 100 others. So give it away. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. GOLM.org. That's Gift of Life Michigan. GOLM.org within Michigan. Or registerme.org everywhere else. Please take the time and do this if you are a listener and supporter of this show. This is binding. If you go out and get hit by a bus, all your organs will be harvested. Well, the ones that aren't smashed into oblivion. Boy, that sounds terrible. It's all true, though. Thank you so much. There are people waiting for your organs, okay? As you know, this is very, very dear and near and dear to me. This has nothing to do with living donation. That's an entirely different animal. This is about when you croak, okay? Thank you so much for doing this. You are an absolute hero if you do this. Because can you imagine you untimely pass in or whatever, you die, and your organs live on in people who just want to live. So please, please, please do that. Fill out your organ donor registration today. Blue Frost IT, the managed IT service provider for the Eric Zane Show podcast for quite some time. An amazing startup company. Been passing on their expertise to the community for quite some time here in West Michigan. And if you need any technical expertise, if you own a business or you work for someone, obviously the owner of the business, drop the name Blue Frost IT when the tech is being upgraded or the tech needs to be managed or, you know, a meltdown has occurred. What are you going to do? Do it yourself? No. Call Blue Frost IT, 616-200-8550. 616-200-8550. For Blue Frost IT. You can also find them online, bluefrostit.com or info@bluefrostit.com. All right. I also want to mention this. I've partnered up with a gravel bike race called the Dirty Donut Race. For you people
that do this is in Michigan. There's three races on Dirty Donut Race Day, which is June 4th in Martin, Michigan. 22-miler, 41-miler, and a 61-miler. They put my logo all over that damn place. And I wanted to make sure that I returned the favor by pointing out that you too, if this is your thing, need to sign up for the Dirty Donut Race. Just go to dirtydonutrace.com for more details. All right. That is it for the sponsors on this edition of the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. It is time to complete the mission of part two of my time with Adam Deggy as he helped participate in Comedy Night with the Bosnian Mafia. Here you go.
And then I busted out laughing because it was an impromptu moment, and it just fucking killed me. Can I say what happened?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. Adam's talking, and the dart machine goes, beep, beep, beep. The dart machine in the back of the room goes, beep, 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 beep.
Of course.
And Adam goes, that noise means one of you at the end of the show has to suck my dick.
I was thinking about that after the show. Like, why do you say things like that? There was this like younger, super funny girl who I think is relatively new. She may have been doing comedy for, I don't know, 10 years, but she was super comfortable up there and very funny, but her mother was at the show.
Oh yeah. That's what I meant. It so contributed to the awkward. There was so much awkward there. Okay. Now what I want to close with is how about, and I, you know, I don't, with you, it's a little weird for me to sit there and talk about specifics of a person's act, but dude, the idea of that little fella with the high voice doing fat jokes about his girlfriend, who is very, very large and is 10 feet away from him. What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, I think you're talking about Preston, maybe.
I don't know. Well, whoever. There's only one guy there who looks like a hobbit whose girlfriend is enormous.
He's something else, huh?
Dude.
God,
fuck.
You know, though, as soon as they got in the car, his forehead was bouncing off the dashboard, and she was having her way with him.
Oh, my God. That was rough.
I'm sure he speaking of going down on people, I'm sure she forced him to go down on her.
Oh, my God. He probably was actually inside of her body. Like, remember that scene in The Empire Strikes Back when Han stuffs Luke in the Tauntaun? That's what happened. Maybe you don't get that reference. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, but I do.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, Ben and I actually, because he said the joke. He said he started a joke, and Ben and I are looking at the guy. And I was telling the audience about this earlier. He goes, yeah, I like to smother her in kisses. And then Ben and I both said independently, and she smothers me with her body. And then, but he didn't say that. He said, smothers me with a pillow. But Ben and I said it. We looked at each other and we turned around, turned our backs to the guy and just started fucking cracking up. We couldn't believe it. Said the same joke. And then she just sat there. She said, I guess she's in on it. I don't know. I hope she didn't feel bad, but she had to feel bad deep down inside. I don't know. That was weird. I hated all of that, but I'm telling you, it was so unbelievably entertaining and yet and awkward and entertaining and funny and entertaining. My God, too much. I can't say enough about it. Is that something that you would do again? Did you do it for a favor? I mean, what's
no, I would absolutely do it again. You know, especially right now, I just want as much stage time as possible. You know, we were all stuck inside and didn't really have any opportunity to do stand up live.
Right.
Dude, I did yesterday afternoon. I actually, also did a virtual like corporate show for a group of realtors in my dining room. Just the worst. Every terrible thing about comedy wrapped into one. And I've done two shows at retirement homes over the last month. like, I mean, I've been doing anything and everything just to scratch that itch. So, wow. I mean, you know, I've got the double shot in me. I already had COVID. I'm ready to get back out and live.
Yeah.
And tell jokes, man. So I'll do anything.
What I wonder what's keeping clubs from getting after it. I mean, you can have some people there.
Right. Well, I know that Grins here in town specifically, I've spoke to the guy who was the assistant manager. He's actually the one who had me do shows at a retirement community. So we're not on good terms. But he said basically that it doesn't make sense for them to open until they can be at least 75% capacity, which I guess makes sense. But
okay.
I think a lot of places are kind of taking advantage of other places not being open or doing comedy. And there's a lot of open mics here in town that are back up running Monday right. through Friday, really. But over the weekend, we definitely need Dr. Grins to open back up. Clubs in other places have, I know, like in Detroit, I've already been out there working clubs. I'll be at the Comedy Castle in June.
Excellent.
That's in Royal Oak. And so some places are trying, but hopefully slowly but surely everybody will be back and open by the end of the summer, I would hope. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you talked to Veltman at all?
I have. So,
is he still in the game? I know. I haven't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Down
he's still in the game. You know, he's got his kid. He's like trying to coach, and he's got a whole separate life. You know.
I know it.
He owns all that shit. He's selling chicken tenders at bowling alleys, and he's got a whole separate thing. But yeah, the last time I spoke to him, he said he was gonna be doing shows. I think I actually saw there's a comic. I don't even know what his name is. Steve Hofstetter, I believe. He's a pretty big guy on the internet. He's got a ton of followers on YouTube. And I think he's going to be at the bowling alley in Muskegon, maybe like this month or next.
Okay. Yeah.
He is doing shows. Yeah.
Well, what he benefits because that room is enormous and he can.
So big.
So, you know. I mean, maybe it would be worth his time to put people in that room. So Joey writes, go check out Adam on May 29th in Otsego. Is that show still on?
Oh, my God. It's not.
It isn't. No.
No, that was actually the 28th, and I double booked it, and I had to bail.
Oh, okay.
But still go out to that show because a friend of mine from Detroit, his name's Bill Bouchard, he's actually headlining the show now. And he's super, super funny. So still go. Support. It's at the Liquid Note Brewing.
Excellent.
/brewery. So hit that up on the 28th. Yeah.
Can people, okay, we're ending the week right now. I don't know if you're taking the weekend off. I know that your lovely better half, you're probably going to be doing all sorts of chores, you know, maybe fun things with her. Like
I'm sure she's got a list of things for me to do.
I bring that up because I worked with her and it's funny because she's the type that Adam's the guy when they go out, Adam will say something. She's the one who's just like, God, you're a fucking idiot. You know, shut the fuck up, Adam. It's a funny dynamic. I almost wish you two could put your lives out on social media because it's that type of funny.
Oh, she talks a lot of shit. She actually, She in public the other day, she snatched my hat off my head and then we almost fought. Several people had to hold me back.
Okay.
Now we're selling merch.
Okay. Yes. Good. Adam, are you website? Can we talk about that? Any appearances in the next week? Maybe some open mic stuff. What is going on? Please.
Out on social media. I'm everywhere from YouTube to Instagram. I got a page on Facebook, all that good stuff. Adam Degi, last name's Degi. There's not going to be another one, so I'll be easy to find. I'm doing a backyard show in Detroit the 28th. That's what I had to bail on the other show for. I didn't do it previously, so I've got to do it this time. It's a lot of fun. A comic out of Detroit, her name's Johanna Mendranda, I think is how you say her last name. I probably really fucked it up. But
sounded right to me.
Funny. And like I said, I'm headlining the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak in June. Wow. I believe the weekend of like the 11th and 12th. So if you're in the Detroit area or you want to make a drive, you can check me out there. Anything else I can't think of off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me.
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, legendary room. Yes. You know, when it comes to legendary rooms in the United States, that's one of them. I mean,
or it's at least it was.
Yeah. Are you talking about because of COVID?
No, just because they're booking me to headline now.
Oh! So. See, I don't.
I've headlined there once previously, so it's probably lost a little bit of its luster.
Come on. Knock that self-deprecation bullshit out.
I get it from Glaze. Jesus.
Yeah, I know it. I know
shit.
It. When I walked in there, I see Ben, and he goes, I don't know. You know, of course, no confidence. He walks into the room. He already is convinced he's going to be terrible. He's like, oh, I don't know. Looks like a pretty woke crowd. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I gotta.
Poor guy. Like, goes, how does he go into sex with his girlfriend?
Right.
I just so you know, I'm probably not gonna make you come.
He's like, woke crowd. I've got a dead baby joke. I don't know if it's gonna fly. I'm like, fuck it, Ben.
Those people weren't woke at all. It was a bunch of people from the mob.
Yes.
And then people from Kentwood. Those people don't give a shit about woke culture.
Yes. All right. Well, you're awesome. Looks like you're getting rave reviews on the comments. People love you. And what's the rest of your day like? What's the rest of, you know?
I've got to do another thing like this with a guy out in Holland. I've never actually met this guy. He's probably Bosnian and he's going to fucking kill me. I met him. He messaged me through some other comics. I think he's got a studio out there, and he somehow is attached to the entertainment world. He may be a musician.
Okay.
But I'm doing his podcast this afternoon, and then I believe I'm doing something for Mother's Day tomorrow. Shout out to my mom, Alex.
Yes, she's of course.
All the mothers out there, without you, there'd be no us. So,
yes,
thank you.
God bless the moms. Okay, and your health is coming along, you know. About a year, was a year ago, they said, hey, guess what? You got third stage skin cancer, right?
The old skin cancer. I'm good now, though, man. The last scan and everything came back good and technically no cancer. So,
Jesus. Do you have any theories as to how that happens? Are you just like go outside with no sunscreen? You smoke cigarettes?
No, I've obviously was never a shirt off in public guy, and I've never really been a fun in the sun guy either. I remember in my mid-20s, I thought if I had a tan, it would get me laid. So I think I did go to like a tanning salon literally twice. And then one of the times I got in a car accident immediately following, which was kind of a sign.
Wow.
But not enough of a sign because I later got skin cancer. But I had a mole on my back since I was a kid. While we're on the subject, May is actually Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Especially for melanoma. My wife and I do a virtual 5K. It's the second annual. So the weekend of my birthday, which is the 21st and 22nd, I believe, anybody can do a virtual 5K. You can run, skate, jog, whatever. And then you just post a sweaty selfie after on social media with the hashtag Move for Melanoma. And then you can go to the link that we'll put on the internet to donate to the Skin Cancer Foundation. It's a good cause. It's great for awareness. A lot of people have misconceptions about skin cancer. Like myself, I thought you would just have a mole or something pop up one day, but it could be something you've had forever and then it changes and you've got to get it checked out. So if you got any weird shit on your skin, go get it checked out at a dermatologist. Get in front of things so you're not in a situation like mine or an even worse one. But it's Skin Cancer Awareness Month. So just keep that in mind. Google something for Christ's sake. You did your own research on the vax, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You're a genius. So do it.
And I'm glad you say that. That all worked out. It sounds like a wonderful thing. Because a lot of times on skin cancer, you know, what you see above the surface of the skin is, strangely enough, tip of the iceberg.
Skin cancer kills more people than any other cancer combined. So
Yes.
It's a thing.
So real quick, it just popped into my head. Are you excited about, are you trying to not get excited about the Lions?
You know, there's a few websites I frequent almost on a daily basis, and I'm more excited about the coaching staff than I am about the roster at this point. And I'm glad that they're kind of all but saying like, hey, we're going to suck for a couple years and build this thing from the bottom. I'm just glad they got rid of Fat Tricia, man. I hated that guy.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. He was terrible. I like that they've made all these moves to get the people in place to protect the quarterback. Because, you know, I mean, let's face it. There have been some teams that have done very well with shitty quarterbacks.
No, that's how you have to build from the inside out. They got that lineman. They got the D tackles. I think we've tried the skill position thing before where the quarterback's got no protection. We can't run the ball, but we have these number one receivers and shit. Let's try it the other way for a while. And then later we'll get rid of this golf contract, have a little more money. They can get free agents or other guys in the draft because they're probably going to be picking in the top five again, at least for the next year. And then they got these picks from the Rams and the Stafford trade.
Yep.
And I like it, man. I'm on board. I always drink the Kool-Aid, though. I'm a moron, so.
I am going to set my sights on a goal for 6 victories. And I think that's lofty. I think probably more like 4 or 5, but I'm
We don't want more than 6.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, fuck it. We're Lions fans. We've waited. I was 21 years old when they last won a playoff game. You were probably like 10, you know? Jesus, maybe even younger than that. But my God. It's okay. We can wait.
You just think about how many Lions fans' dads have died.
Yes.
Without ever seeing them win shit, you know? And you just hope that you don't become that dad.
I remember when they beat Dallas in that divisional round and went to the NFC championship game. They had lost to Washington earlier in the year badly. And I was like, oh, rematch, we're going to do it. And then we went to RFK Stadium against Washington and we got the shit kicked out of us in the NFC championship game. It was so bad. That's my one glory moment of the Detroit Lions.
So. It's gross, man. But it's finally going to change. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, hey, thanks for doing this. I kept you much longer, but you're so easy to talk to and fun. Everybody loved you. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. I promise the next time you get into some social media beef, if you call me, I'll answer the phone.
Oh my God. I've been just getting murdered. I get so antsy about this. Oh Jesus. All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Zane, take it easy, man.
Yeah, buddy. You too. The one and only Adam Deggy.
All right, that is it. The best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed making them. I like going back in time and hearing these old bits. So there you go. All right, thank you so much for listening to it. Remember, facebook.com/Eric Zane fan page. Follow me there. Twitch.com or twitch.tv/Eric Zane live. Follow me there. You can catch the show live every morning, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. with video. Just follow the page. And it will tell you when I go live. All right. Or you can also just download the podcast wherever you download podcasts, obviously. Twitter @Eric Zane Show. And then on YouTube, follow me there too as well. Thank you so much, folks. Bye-bye.